Radio Free Cybertron. The first. The best.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is Brian Kilby, back after a week's absence. I'd like to thank Turin for filling in for me last week while I was being lazy. We have a big show for you this week. Ultimus Prime is back with a review of Obsidian. Turin has a review of Manterror and a rant on quote-unquote bad guys. Before that, we'll have the news from Earth and the news from Cybertron, which I'll be doing this week. We're bringing back the Ask RFC portion of the show, and Mop Boy will also have, with the blessings of the artist and its label, a song by a group called the Decepticons. After that, we'll have trivia. Yes, it's back. Then we'll have my rant on being ripped off. John DeLuna's ATT Buzz is being pushed back towards the end of the show, as it does contain spoilers. Finally, though, I promised it earlier, but I was lazy, so I'll have the review of last week's episode of Beast Machines from Canada, and I'll also have the review of this week's episode. Coming up first, however, is the news from Earth.
News from Earth.
J. Dale's ATT Who's Who is being updated again. That was one of my favorite ATT projects from last year. It's good to see it back. If you want a profile of yourself put up, just go to our homepage. There is a link. Transquake has been updated. The link is available on the homepage. The most notable difference is the ability to play a sound wave. In RFC news, we're changing hosts. We'll be moving some of our files to another server. Take note of that. Hopefully nothing will be interrupted in the move. The trivia poll is over. The results are in. Your opinions on trivia are: don't change a thing, 71%. Drop it at 6%, and keep it, but it needs work, 23%. So trivia is back, and better than ever. I actually will probably change it now and again, just to keep things mixed up. The Transformers the Movie parody was a smash success. We've received a lot of praise for that. We received a lot of email for that as well, but since I'm very awkward in reading others' messages, I'll leave it at that. It's now available on the homepage in both streaming real audio, downloadable real audio, downloadable MP3, and the original script, and you can see how it evolved in production. Look for the new installment next week. I can finally do the interviews at home instead of having to do them at the station, so if you want to be on the show, email me at kilby316@abts.net, and we can work something out. I know of a few people that I had lined up, but the rest have slipped my mind. We should have an interview up on the show next week. It's a surprise guest. You won't want to miss it. And don't forget that the call is on me. Finally, in the news from Earth, there is fan fiction available in the RFC archive now. I thought that my stuff would have had a better chance of being read if it were placed there. That and the fact that my homepage sucks. Almost every other RSC staffer has stuff in the archive as well, with more to follow. Coming up right now is the news from Cybertron.
News from Cybertron.
First up in the news from Cybertron, Energon prices are at an all-time high thanks to Decepticon advances on energy warehouses. Lousy Decepticons. Soundwave released a spoken word album last week. The album is entitled Zen and the Art of Cassette Maintenance. Critics were underwhelmed. And finally in the news, Trax was quick to dismiss rumors of an affair with the Maximal Black Arachnia. Rumors, which were later revealed to have been circulated by Trax himself. The public was underwhelmed. Tune in next week for more news from Cybertron.
Radio Free Cybertron. Unparalleled. Unmatched. Unpaid. Unfortunately. 0% profit. 100% fun. Radio Free Cybertron.
Coming up right now is Turin.
Greetings and salutations, transfans. This is Turin, and I just want to clear up a small controversy that's arisen during the last week. As you may know, after Radio Free Cybertron went on the air last year, another Transformers radio station appeared by the name of TransTalk. Now, we here at RFC generally don't listen to that show, one of the reasons being that we wouldn't want that show to influence the content here. Nevertheless, it was brought to our attention that in last week's installment of TransTalk, its host, the Nixter, made it clear that he considered our parody version of Transformers the Movie to be an imitation of his parody version. Since ours had been in the planning stages for several months prior to his version's air date, that was, of course, not possible. In any case, beyond the fact that we're both doing movie parodies, there really is no other similarity. TransTalk's movie parody is created by recycling sound footage from the movie, while ours relies on original dialogue voiced by the RFC staff, most notably Zobovor, who, in my opinion, makes Scott McNeil look like Johnny One Note. Man. Anyway, it's also worth pointing out that our parody uses music from the movie soundtrack with the permission of 3H Enterprises. On this week's installment of TransTalk, the Nixter apologized for his inappropriate remarks about this station and for his unauthorized use of sound clips of our show, and we accept that apology. Unfortunately, he also read on the air, without permission, excerpts from a private email that I sent to him. I feel that my words, never meant to be read publicly, were taken out of context. In that email, I complained of his accusation against us, that of imitating his show. I then made mention of the fact that, after we got Larry DiTillo to do a promo for our show, a manufactured promo of, I believe, Optimus Prime appeared on his show. Now, I wasn't accusing him of copying us, however. In fact, quite the opposite. I was trying to show how easy it is for a casual observer to assume imitation where there is really parallel development. He heard our announcement of a movie parody, and he assumed imitation. I heard his promo appear after ours, but I made no accusation. That was the difference I was pointing out. I did not and have not accused TransTalk of imitating our show. The Nixter has accused us of such, but he has made an apology for the error, and we accept. Coming up right now, we have my quick review, and this week we are going to look at Man-Terror. Man-Terror is a pre-Transmetal Deluxe Beast Wars toy, and I got him sometime last year, but it wasn't really until this week that I realized what a great toy this is. On my personal rating scale, he gets a rating of very nice, which is the second highest rating possible. In Beast Mode, he's a praying mantis. And he looks very nice in this mode. He has a variety of poses for his huge front beast arms. The only robot parts visible in his beast mode are his legs tucked up under the thorax, but they actually don't look at all bad. And he can stand up on his insect legs just fine, which is something that can't be said of some of the other Beast Wars toys. As an added touch, both his antenna and his mouth can move. In robot mode, Man-Terror stands very well, and he has excellent posability. His arms can be held at his sides in the ready position, or fully extended for a huge, menacing look. His robot head is very fierce-looking, reminiscent of Inferno. His wings can be folded behind him out of the way, or posed for flight. He has an extraordinarily long reach, making for excellent hand-to-hand combat poses, and he can also hurl energy discs, which reminds me of one of the games in the movie Tron. In actuality, they're plastic discs fired by pushing on a pressure button, but the gimmick works very well. His beast head ends up in a rather indelicate place in robot mode, making him, and I'm sorry about this, a crotch master. But his beast head and legs fit rather snugly onto his torso, making for additional armor, so he really doesn't actually have any kibble to speak of in robot mode. All in all, Man-Terror is one of the most poseable of all the Beast Wars toys, and he has virtually no flaws. Sure, he doesn't have any hands, he has pinchers, but I'm sure they'd be articulate if he was ever animated, not like some toys that have beast heads and flippers instead of hands. Man-Terror is a very nice toy, but I hope you like green. Coming up next, my rant for the week. My rant. You've been warned. You know what I'm really sick and tired of? People defending bad guys. A woman cheats on her husband, and a feminist friend of mine says, well, maybe he did something to drive her to it. Well, maybe you're just a sexist. Since when is it okay to commit adultery, to betray your spouse? You know, when I was in elementary school, I'd come home sometime and complain about some jerk at school. Yeah, this big kid tried to take my lunch money. You know what my mother would say? Well, maybe he's insecure about himself, and that's how he expresses it. Well, maybe he's just a jerk. And the worst thing is when people act like, unless somebody's 100% completely evil, they aren't really evil. People look at Beast Wars Megatron. See, in the agenda it shows he really cares about the Predacon cause, not just himself. He's not totally evil. Well, guess what? Nobody is totally evil. I got a suggestion. Start telling lies all the time. Hey, just whenever you feel like it, just lie. And if anyone calls you a liar, you can just say, oh, no, I'm not a liar. Remember yesterday when you asked me what time it was, and I told you the truth? See, I can't be called a liar because I tell the truth, too. See if that works. The sad thing is, it just might. Well, what does all this have to do with Transformers? Well, depending on how much you've hung out on the Transformers newsgroups, you may be aware that there are people who think the Decepticons are the good guys. I mean, I think the Decepticons are interesting characters. I'd rather watch Starscream than Trailbreaker any day of the week. They're great toys, great characters, very entertaining. But are they good? They try to kill every human being on Earth. That's not what I call real nice. Oh, but they aren't totally bad. Look how loyal Soundwave is to Megatron. What an admirable quality. Yes, Soundwave is loyal. If you ignore the part in the movie where he lets old Megs get tossed into space. But guess what? Every vicious dictator in all of history has had loyal troops. Don't you think that Stalin had loyal lieutenants? When American soldiers were handing out smallpox-infected blankets to the Indians, don't you think they were loyal to their commanders? They probably went home and gave their kids dinner. Oh, see, you can't say they're bad, because they feed their kids. Well, you're supposed to. Nobody lies all the time. Nobody's totally evil. But guess what? You don't have to get a zero on an exam to fail it. You can flunk a test even if you got a lot of the questions right. I'm sure I'm not the only one who knows this. So I would wish people would quit defending the bad guys with such lame excuses. At least get some better material. And I still hate CompUSA, by the way. That's all for this week. This is Turin. Back to you, Brian.
Thanks, Turin. Let me see here. It looks like Mop is itching to get into the fold, so here he is with Ask RSC and with the blessings of the group and the label, the Decepticons.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head up his ass and I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me.
Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's been a week since you've had her hear from me. Now that you've had a rest, it's time for more letters to answer in the mailbag. But first, some of the staff at Radio Free Cybertron have asked me to play a disclaimer for them, as certain people want to share quality in this show.
The views and opinions of Muppoy do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Cybertron, nor anyone else for that matter.
Okay, now that's over with. Now, on with the mail. Let's see. There's gotta be something here somewhere. Oh, here's one. Let's see. Dear RFC, hello. On Monday the 20th, I went to listen to your show and got an error message. That turned out I needed to update my computer to meet the new minimum requirements of the player. I needed to spend $100 and buy a Mac OS System 8. So, if you can find a way of saving your show so that those of us without loads of cash lying around can still enjoy Radio Free Cybertron, let me know. Thanks, Wayne Backett. Mac. Well, dear Wayne, considering that you got a whole mansion and an English butler to yourself, I can't believe you don't have the pocket change for an upgrade. But if you really must upgrade your Mac, then getting another Mac OS isn't exactly what I call an upgrade. Get a copy of Linux ported for the Mac and live in happiness. But until you do, RFC will have MP3s of the show available before the end of April. So if you can stay out of Arkham Asylum long enough, we may just make you a happy bat. You're welcome, Mop Boy. And they say millionaires have everything. Whoop, here's another one from Wayne. I've been listening to your show and been frequenting your site for a couple of months now. So I figured that if I needed some information, your crew of miscreants would be the place to go. Miscreants. Okay, the main thing I would like assistance from you about is that I found at a garage sale what I believe to be six-shot robot motors, approximately 1 foot tall, purple legs, and black with a teal-green torso, and gray wings on back. This being a garage sale, it came all alone, i.e. no manual, no accessories. I have been able to puzzle out most of the robot, gun, and griffin-like mode. There appear to be at least two or more so modes. If you can help me with my situation, please do so. If not, maybe you can point me in the right direction. Signed, Wayne. Well, Wayne, you've caught me in a fairly good mood tonight. So, here's a few places you can look for info on your multi-configured possession. First site I found was a http://sac.uky.edu/tildesign:elclin0/6shot.htm. This has a really nice drawing of, well, six shot and his different modes that might be able to help you configure them. There's also another site that you might want to look for more web pages. It's at www.bigbot.com/ctlp. That's got a huge list of Transformer sites, probably all of them. And a couple other ones I found were www.planetforce.com/6shot.html. And there's a movie of a commercial trailer, I believe. I haven't seen this yet, so check it out. It's www.transfans.com/movies/trans/6shot.htm. Have fun, and don't look back. Okay, now here's someone different. Dear RFC, I've heard of this new band called the Decepticons. Who are they? Where can I hear some of their music? The ever-dancing Mr. Anonymous. You're in luck. Dear Anon, you've heard correctly. The Decepticons are a fairly new ska band, and they kick ass. I was trolling around the internet channel Ouija, that's on Dalnet, and they were talking about some song, so I said, let me hear it. I loved it. If you like ska, you'll love the Decepticons. They have a website, but there's nothing there yet. You'll have to wait until they set it up. It's at www.decepticons.com. You can pick up their latest CD, Rot Your Brain, at either CD Now or Amazon. I haven't found it anywhere else. Also, very soon, your friendly neighborhood mop boy is going to get you info on how to acquire one of their t-shirts. It's got a flaming Decepticons insignia. I wonder if there's a hidden meaning there. At any rate, if you want to hear some of their music, look no further, because RFC has brought you fans a sample of their first CD. Thanks to the boys in Ouija, here are the Decepticons.
Are you listening? Are you ready to rock and roll? Yeah, because we are coming at you! Remember that the Scott Truth back from the 80s? Transformers! But we're back in this having show telling no tea party!
Decepticons! They're coming at you!
Come on, Decepticons!
Behind a little Megatron, you know that we can't go wrong. As I look around this land, I feel more machine than man, feeling stronger than before, waging in a robot war.
Thanks, Mop. Great stuff. If you want to ask a question, email kilby316@abts.net. That's kilby316@abts.net. And label it Ask RFC. Sometimes we even find the right answer. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is the handsome and vivacious Brian Kilby with trivia. This is trivia, and this is Brian Kilby presenting it to you. I'd like to thank myself there for a wonderful introduction. As some of you know, trivia was on hiatus for a couple of weeks, and we thank you for voting to keep it into the show. Apparently it's popular, but apparently sometimes it's a little too difficult. That's actually, you know, my estimation of it. So hopefully this week I made it somewhat easier. For the new listeners, how trivia is done is... I play a clip from an episode. All you do is email me at kilby316@abts.net, and you tell me what that episode is. As usual, I'll play it twice, usually. I might do it a third time if I feel like it. But I don't feel like it today, so I'll only play it twice. Let me see here. Also, it will be on the webpage in real audio form, in case you missed it. So, let's get down to it, and I will play it here for the first time.
The question is, has Megatron made the same calculations?
Well, if I was a betting rodent, which I am, oh yeah.
And for those of you that missed it there, here I will play it again.
The question is, has Megatron made the same calculations?
Well, if I was a betting rodent, which I am, oh yeah.
There you go. If you know the answer to this, if you know the episode from which it comes, email me at kilby316@abts.net and tell me. And you'll hear your name on the show next week, if you got it right. And for Radio Free Cybertron, this is Brian Kilby with trivia. Thanks, Brian. Wonderful as always. You handsome, handsome man.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Okay. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is Goldmus Prime with a review of Obsidian.
After what feels like a long, long time with no new toys, look who's back and feeling prime. This week, we get back into the swing of things with Obsidian, the Viacom vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. As has been noted, he looks like a mass-produced machine of war that was retrofit to become a Viacom general. Obsidian's color scheme is mostly green. Think G2 tank Megatron. There's some darker green bits underneath and for the tail section and the rotor supports. The rotors themselves are translucent orange, and Obsidian's body is striped with purple. Again, think G2 tank Megatron. Wonder who spark he has, huh? Obsidian seems rather well armed. He's got a forward-mounted gun on his cockpit and two missile launchers on either side of his body. In addition, his rotors shoot like missiles, which I keep getting an image of him firing these at the Maximals and then plummeting to the ground where he crashes and burns. as would be expected with a vehicle, he has very little in the way of articulation in this mode. A Jetstorm-like gooseneck mode can be accomplished by moving the cockpit down and then leveling it off. This should extend it out onto its ball joint, which will let it move side to side a bit. Aside from that, he has 2 points of articulation by his rotors, which the arms they're connected to can move all over the place, simulating forward motion, or even you can get a fan boat mode by turning down his tail fins and putting his propellers behind him. And then his missile launchers act as makeshift pontoons. Obsidian has a real good vehicle mode, even if it is mostly a brick. I don't know why. I like this probably the best of all my Viacons so far. He's real nicely molded. His only gimmicks are the shooting rotors, which lend to humorous imagery. Good design, good color scheme, and even the gimmicks make him slightly humorous. His vehicle mode gets a 9.5 out of 10. I cannot find any problems with this, but at the moment I don't want to give him a 10 rating in case I do later. Begin Obsidian's transformation by pulling down on his tail. This starts a geared auto transformation that will bring his cockpit down and his robot head up. I don't want to call this a total auto transformation, as there's still enough bits to do manually. Once you've pulled his tail down, unfold his missile launchers to become his arms, and set his rear landing gear and tail fins to become his feet. You can either leave his legs connected for a hover mode-like thing, or you can separate them for a normal walking mode. Once in robot mode, Obsidian looks even better than he did in vehicle mode, if that's possible. You really get the feeling of mass-produced machine of destruction, even more so than with Scavenger. Obsidian has missile launchers for arms and hands. He has no real hands or claws. And then he's got the two rotors on his shoulders, which it makes him look like he was thrown together quickly to combat Maximals and wasn't given time for a pretty look or minor utilities such as hands. Robot mode carries over the same gimmick as vehicle mode, the shooting rotors, which lend to even more humorous images in robot mode. Because I can just see him pointing those forward to shoot at Maximals, starting to move forward, and then when they fire, he goes crashing into the ground again. That's always funny. Obsidian's color scheme remains the same in robot mode, still the same combinations of light and dark green and the purple striping. As I said before, think G2 Tank Megatron. The only real problem I can see with this mode is the projection coming off his back. It probably wouldn't have been too difficult to make it fold down on rivets or something, but I suppose for the mostly auto transformation they were going for, it would have made it too complex. Sure, that's it. Aside from the shooting rotors, Obsidian's auto-transformation could also be considered a gimmick of sorts, as it's not like the spring-loaded transformations of the early Beast Wars basics where you just pulled one lever and went from there. Obsidian's robot mode is very well crafted. It's done things I never would have considered doing in this kind of vehicle mode. For ingenuity and really cool-looking design, it gets 9 out of 10. His gimmicks are rather average, especially for a basic. The auto transformation is very cool, in my opinion, and it was handled very well in this toy. The rotors are nothing special. They're just basically clones of the same missile-launching system Mirage uses for his hockey sticks. They get a 6 out of 10, J2 just for being there. Overall, Obsidian is a spectacular toy. Get him no matter what kind of collector you are. This is a must-have toy. His average rating is 8 out of 10. I cannot say enough good things about him. Go get him, you'll see what I mean. This is Goldimus Prime with Radio Free Cybertron, the first, the best, except no imitations.
Agreed, Goldie, and thanks. I've not got Obsidian myself. I've had to be a penny pincher. I have to save my money for BotCon and for the Japanese Fort Max. Either way, coming up right now is my rant, being ripped off and why it sucks.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Coming up is a segment that I've been working on since 1974. Kidding, of course. Seriously, though, I took a lot of thought in how to confront this. I mean, I'm not a professional commentator, nor, as I once stated, consider myself one. Of course, that statement created an undue mess. What I am, though, or rather, what I have, is experience from both ends. My first web page was an abysmal mess. There was a MIDI of the Superman theme playing constantly. A bit of advice, don't use MIDIs. I can't stress that enough. The page had a background picture of the moon taken from NASA.gov. The image was over 100K. I had two or three pictures of Captain America taken from a wonderful Captain America page. I no longer had the URL handy, unfortunately. The images were taken without credit, I might add. I had a wrestling page with an animated GIF for the background. Some browsers actually would animate the GIF. It was grotesque. All of the pictures from the page, a page which held no information, I might add, were taken from other pages. My Transformers page was just as bad. All of the images were swapped from other pages. Most were screen caps, obviously done by someone else who took their time to make the images. Had several sound effects taken from various pages. It's unfortunate, I might add, that these people that I swapped these images from, I now call friend. This was from a few years ago, before I was an active member in the fandom. The point is, I took this work without thinking. People worked long and hard for this, and I never gave it a thought. When I did realize that what I did was wrong, all I did was throw up a disclaimer stating that if this work is yours, tell me, and I'll either give you credit or take it down. Just like Greg Galb, I'm sorry if I butchered Greg's name, I've never met him in person, and I haven't heard his name pronounced. You know, Greg does all those wonderful spinning Transformers logos. You know the ones, ones that are on every other Transformers webpage. They're also quite common to be seen on eBay auctions as well. Have you noticed anything about these images? Nope, probably not. 99.9% of the time, he goes uncredited. Greg is probably the best example of what I was talking about a moment ago. Greg puts a lot of effort into these images, as you can tell by looking at them. What's wrong with this, you may ask? Why is it so bad that somebody swaps someone else's work? I'll tell you why. I know from making RSCs that I would hate, and do hate, anyone using my material or my research in their page or project without credit and prior permission. Even with the help of many people, it took me months to get RSC off the ground. I had to brush up on HTML, I had to learn how to encode real audio, or rather, how to deal with the intricacies of real audio. I had to work on making my graphics, this, and much, much more I had to learn to do this. All this while juggling work, taking care of my sick mother, and school. It was anything but easy, but it was something that I wanted to do. It was labor of love. Is it then a labor of love if someone takes my material and uses it for their own purposes? No. It's a labor of laziness. I now regret taking all the material that I did earlier, when I was a newbie. I knew no better. That, however, is no excuse. Sure, I wouldn't mind helping someone with my knowledge and my effort, but as a human being, I feel that someone should respect my work and my effort for borrowing or taking my material. When you work on something long and hard, you're taking away your most precious commodity, time away from your life. Is ripping people off illegal? In some cases, yes. In most, no. Or if it is, nobody does anything about it, other than complain. Have I become Brian's saint of credit? No. There are a few things on the page where I give credit, but didn't ask permission. Those things usually fall under fair use laws. The Transformers name, for example. Question is, what should you do if you find yourself ripping someone off? Should you start over from scratch? Should you hunt down all the people that you borrowed material from and ask permission? I'm not you. It's not for me to decide. That's why you have a conscience. This is Brian Kilby for Radio Free Cybertron.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Coming up here in a moment, for those of you who are not tuning out, will be the ATT Buzz, which does contain spoilers, and a review of the last two episodes of Beast Machines. But for those of you who are tuning out, I want to remind you to listen next week for the next installment of our Transformers the Movie parody, and for more reviews and other fun nonsense. This is Brian Kilby for RSC saying, till next week. Now, for those of you who are staying, I'll play the little Beast Machines intro clip. After that, you're on your own as far as spoilers go. Warning, from this point on, there are spoilers, lots of them. Watch out. Coming up right now on Radio Free Cybertron is the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and there's lots of stuff going on the news group this week. First and most important, everybody is talking about Car Robots that came out in Japan this week, and only a few days later, arrived on our shores on import stores. And everybody seems to like them a lot, and everybody's taking this chance to bash Hasbro, man. Well, let me, just for a minute, defend Hasbro for once. You see, I really don't like Beast Machines. The toys don't have the same flash as they used to, and the show's a tad shallow, although that could change. But for now, I think ATT needs to stop with the Hasbro is the devil posts and Takara rules posts. I mean, look, both these companies are doing what they think is best for their toy lines and the success of those toy lines, and people seem to forget that Takara does just as many bad things as Hasbro. I mean, you think Hasbro's mass repaintage is bad now? Look at what Takara's been doing for years. I mean, they put out tons of repaints, and some of those repaints were prizes for contest winners, which means a lot of people had no shot at getting them in any toy store. Now, can you imagine the meltdown that ATT would have if Hasbro tried to pull that on us? It would be unbearable. And now let's compare the toys that the toy companies put out. You can't compare the toys. They're apples and oranges. I mean, Takara takes the approach that kibble is okay. I mean, their slogan should be, hey, that's not a tailpipe sticking out of the back of that guy's head. It's a laser cannon. Or, hey, that's not a horse's backside. That's a kneecap, guys. On the other hand, Hasbro Man is bent on ridding the world of kibble, ending it, even to a fault. I mean, some of the latest Maximal designs are a little too streamlined. I mean, I like a jagged edge here and there, and I wouldn't mind the catchable parts either. Anyway, point being, Takara and Hasbro are apples and oranges, and they both have good points and bad points, and the grass is always greener on the other side. So just remember, there are negatives to Takara, and Hasbro does plenty of good things for us. Okay, elsewhere on ATT this week, the buzz started on the latest character introduced in Beast Machines, and there's quite the controversy over Botanica, basically because she's a plant, and she looks like a cross between a frog and a head of lettuce. But that's not the point. The point is, she's a plant. First, let me say that it is a bit too early to judge anything about her, seeing how she's only debuted. She's only had, like, 15 minutes of airtime. But after that first show, her personality and character do seem fine. It's just that body and that alternate form. I mean, just because it's possible to have a plant form in Beast Wars and Beast Machines and in that canonical universe, it doesn't mean it's right. Of course, it doesn't mean it's wrong. Now, as far as I go, I can barely stomach the idea. I mean, that's just me. And has anyone figured out exactly how they're going to keep Night Scream from tearing her apart when apples start falling out of the back of her head come harvest time? I think not. See, nobody thinks of those things. That's why they need me to join Hasbro. And that's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuna.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
It should be noted that the spoilers for the rest of the season were posted on alt.toys.transformers. You may want to avoid the group for a while. First off, I'd like to mention that these episodes were downloaded from www.tfextreme.com. I was supposed to have reviewed this earlier in the week, but I didn't. I'm forgetful. First up, Native Soil. This episode basically revolves around the new Maximal Botanica. Instead of being an animal, she's a plant. That's basically it. I sort of wish that there was a female Viacon named Metallica, but that's beside the point. By the way, here's my favorite line from that episode.
So, whereas our crew assumed the form of animals,
my crew became sentient plants.
That means talking trees. Thanks.
The episode is sort of boring, up until the end, where Megatron, in a fit of anger, transforms into a ship, blowing up whatever is in his way. This is a promise of something exciting, something that will come up in the next week's show. On the whole, this episode gets a 6. It would have gotten a 5 if it weren't for the scene where Thrust gives Primal the finger. That, my friends, was classic. If you missed it, you have to see that. Also, Primal tapping Thrust on the shoulder before he nails him with a right hook was nice as well, but you know, not enough to warrant an extra point. Now we actually get to the meat of the matter. Spark War, Part 1. Wow. Great episode, by any standards. I think that when Bob Skurr was bragging about Beast Machines, he was thinking about this episode. After Thrust is swiftly beaten by the Maximals, Megatron decides to create 2 new Viacon generals. The generals come out screaming, "Terminate! Obliterate!" mindlessly lashing out at Night Scream and Silverbolt. A big chase scene starts where the overly confident Maximals feel like they have an advantage. The new generals are basically chased off, and the Maximals follow. They run into an ambush. An unholy number of Viacon drones await. The Viacons are now, how shall I say, more than meets the eyes. They're not mindless, as the pre-Rhinox tank war was. In fact, they're brilliant generals. Loyal, brilliant generals. The drones chase the Maximals into the Citadel, which is intended to be their graves. They're basically, you know, herded in there. The Maximals find out that the new Viacons are Obsidian and Stryker, and that they are the quote-unquote greatest generals in Cybertronian history. To put it bluntly, they rule. They're awesome. I love them. Enough said. Of course, Botanica comes out and fights off the drones, and she has a horribly cheesy line, "Time to clean out the dead wood." I'm not going to subject you to a clip, so don't worry. I found myself really disliking Botanica, but, you know, you can't have it all. I mean, if the world was perfect, the optimal situation wouldn't have been the follow-up to Agenda, would it? My problem with this episode, Botanica, I hate her. And Thrust has become comic relief. You know, but it's still sort of funny, though. What I liked about this episode, everything else. The new Viacons, the dialogue, the action, the animation, the suspense, everything. This is a multi-part episode, and will probably continue with Primal seeking out the Sparks. Actually, sort of the name, as the name implies. At least, that's what Primal is intending to do. I'm not even going to do a rundown on the score. I'll just say it right now. This episode gets a strong 9.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Well, that's Radio Free Cybertron for this week. For RFC and all its staff, this is Brian Kilby saying, I am confused.